You're listening to Worship Life Radio with Pastor Holland Davis of Calvary Chapel San Clemente. On today's edition...
No, they were being led by the Spirit into the land. They were being led into battle by God Himself. And that's the difference that we see in many today. There's a lot of people rattling their swords, crying out against this and crying out against that. But they're not being led by the Spirit. They're not being led by the Lord. We want to be a people that are led by the Spirit. We want to be a people that are being led by God.
When we look at the story of the Israelites wandering in the desert, there are many things we can learn. There were times where they were being led by the Spirit of God and they would follow, and then other times they wouldn't follow. Sometimes in our lives, God will lead us into something that we are uncertain of. However, as Pastor Holland will teach in today's message, when God calls us to something, He will always be faithful to sustain us. The Israelites got this lesson time and time again. Let's join Pastor Holland in the book of Numbers chapter 13 as he continues his message, Fake News in the Wilderness.
If we're going to get back to faith in our nation, if that's really what everybody's crying for, we need to get back to our roots and our faith, that means we need to get back to the Word of God, to teaching the Word of God, the Scriptures, verse by verse, and that's what we do here at Calvary Chapel. The source of all revelation comes from His Word. And so our faith is built on the Word of God. And so if faith comes through the Word of God, then unbelief comes by listening to other voices. Unbelief comes by listening to other voices instead of God's Word. And that's what's happening in the nation of Israel. That's what we're going to see as we look at our text today in Numbers chapter 13. We're going to see a nation that has forgotten God's word, that is not listening to God's word, and now they're listening to the words of men, the words of others that are filling them with fear. You know, where we are in our story today in Numbers chapter 13, the nation of Israel is at the border of the promised land. When we began, the nation of Israel is at Mount Sinai. They've been there for at least a year. We're seeing them celebrate their second Passover here. So they've been there, you know, they left a year previous from Egypt, came over to Mount Sinai. They've been camped. God's been instructing them. God gave them the law on Pentecost. The law of God was given, the Torah, the Word of God. And so they're now here getting instruction from the Lord. And so after the second Passover, they go to the Promised Land. And they reach the borders of the Promised Land 40 or 50 days after Passover. And so now they're at the borders of the Promised Land. And Moses sends 12 spies. One from each tribe of Israel. And actually, it was the leader of the tribe is the one that actually went in. And so we have our first example of representative government. Government that is represented, one person representing each of the tribes of Israel. And after 40 days, the spies return and they give their report of the land. And this is what they say in verse 26. They say, now they departed and came back to Moshe and Aharon and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesha. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. So they went and they got these incredible grapes that were there, these huge clusters of grapes. They showed them, hey, this is what's in the land. And then they told them and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey. And this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified. They're very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of the Anak there. Whenever you hear Anak, you go, ooh. Anak were the giants. You know, they were giants in the land. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Uptites, the Audacites. They dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. And then Caleb quieted the people. I mean, as he's sharing this, I mean, you could hear the people going, oh, wow, the Amalekites. Oh, my goodness. The Anak. Oh, my goodness. The Jebusites. Oh, the Hittites. Oh, my goodness. And they're starting to talk amongst themselves. And Caleb quiets them before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. Let's go right now. Let's take the land. That's because Caleb was probably in his 20s. He was born ready, right? But the men who had gone up with them, the other 10, said, we are not able to go up against the people. Listen to the voice of reason, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. It's going to eat you up. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. They're huge. And there we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our sight. And so we were in their sight as well. And so we have two perspectives. They both saw the same land, but they both walked away with two completely different perspectives. The perspective of Joshua and Caleb, the perspective of faith, and the other of the 10 spies, the perspective of unbelief. And I want to look at the differences between these two perspectives and make some applications for us today. And the first observation that I want to make is this. That if you notice that the perspective of faith is always focused on God's ability to fulfill his word. Whereas the perspective of unbelief is focused on man's ability. Faith is focused on what God can do, and unbelief is focused on what man can do. Notice what Caleb says, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able. We can do this. We can overcome it. Now, where did this come from? Was he just ready to go? Was he just one of those guys that wake up happy in the morning? You just want him to dial back a couple notches? Like, let me have my coffee first and then you can shine on me? Like, you're way too excited. Was that who Caleb was? No. Caleb got this from the Lord. In Exodus 23, God promised to Moses. He said, I will send my fear before you. I will cause confusion among all the people to whom you come and will make all your enemies turn their backs to you. That means they're going to be running away from you. When you see the back of the enemy, it's because they're running away from you. And I will send hornets before you, the big murder hornets. And they will drive out the Hivite and the Canaanite and the Hittite from before you. And I will not drive them out from before you in 1 year, not all at once, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. Little by little, I will drive them out from before you until you have increased and you inherit the land. And I will set your bounds from the Red Sea to the sea, Philistia, and from the desert to the river. For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand and you will drive them out before you. You see, God had already told them what to expect. God had already told them who was in the land. He mentions the Hivites and the Canaanites and the Hittites. So when they saw the strength of the people, when they saw the big cities, when they saw the fortified cities, they weren't scared. God had already told them it was there. There was nothing for them to be afraid of. It wasn't a surprise to them. It wasn't an intimidation to them. They weren't. But the other thing is they weren't unrealistic about it either, were they? They didn't ignore it as if it didn't exist. They were very realistic about it. Hey, the threat is real. The threat is real. Look, they're right there. We can see them. But they knew that God was with them. and that God had said that he would drive them out. And so that's why Caleb was ready to go for it. He wasn't unrealistic about the challenge. He just knew who was on his team. And that's the reality for us as believers. We're not unrealistic about the challenges we face in this world. We know the challenges are real. The threat is real. But we also know who's on our team. We also know who is the one that is leading us. We also know the one who is directing us, who is guiding us. We're following the cloud by day, the fire by night. We're not rushing out to conquer the hill just because, let's just conquer that hill. Those dumb Canaanites, let's just kick them out of the land. No, they were being led by the Spirit into the land. They were being led into battle by God himself. And that's the difference that we see in many today. There's a lot of people rattling their swords, crying out against this and crying out against that. But they're not being led by the Spirit. They're not being led by the Lord. We want to be a people that are led by the Spirit. We want to be a people that are being led by God so that when we go into battle, we know we're going to be victorious because God has gone before us. He's already won the battle. We will be protected in the midst of it.
Worship Life Radio with Holland Davis will continue right after this.
Hi, this is Holland Davis, and I'm the pastor of Calvary Chapel in San Clemente. And I just want to take a moment and invite you to come and visit us at one of our Sunday morning services or to our midweek Bible study. Calvary Chapel San Clemente is a Jesus people community right here in the city of San Clemente, California. You know, we identify with our roots in the Jesus movement because that's where I came to Christ. And of course, that's where Calvary Chapel was born. When you come to our church, you're going to find a church that loves to worship the Lord with song. We love to study God's word verse by verse, and we love to share the love of God with other people. If that's the kind of church you're looking for, consider visiting us. You can find out all about us online at calvarysanclemente.org. We look forward to worshiping with you soon, and may God richly bless you.
Now, let's continue with today's edition of Worship Life Radio.
And that's what God had promised us in the very beginning of all of this. By contrast, the perspective of unbelief is focused on man's ability. And notice what the spy said. We're not able to go against the people, for they are stronger than we. They made their assessment. They analyzed the situation, and they came to the conclusion, we can't do this because the enemy is stronger. Where did they get their information from? They were following the science. They were giving the facts. These are the facts of the situation. And it says that they gave the people a bad report. We're just being realistic here. The giants are taller than us. The men are stronger than us. The cities are large. They're fortified. We've never done anything like this before. We've never gone against these kind of cities before. We're not going to win. Based on the analysis of the information we have, we're going to lose. The problem with their analysis is that they left out one very important element. What was that? God. God was with them, not with the Canaanites, not with the Hittites, not with the Jebusites. God was with the nation of Israel. That word bad report suggests that the information they gave was censored. It was controlled information. They only gave a little bit of the information. They didn't give the full picture, the complete picture. It was fake news. They got fake news in the wilderness. See, you thought fake news came about in 2016. It actually came out in Numbers chapter 13. They didn't give the complete picture. In fact, they were critical of the truth. They were critical of any... You guys are crazy for trusting in God. You're crazy for believing Joshua and Caleb. You're going to trust them? They're going to get you killed. You got to believe us. We're going to lead you to life. Don't trust those guys. Don't trust the position of faith. But here's the problem. When you focus on your ability versus God's ability, when you focus on your facts versus God's word, you will never be accurate in your situation. Never. Because you will never see the complete picture. You will always have an incomplete picture because only God knows the end from the beginning. Only God knows. I don't know. I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, but God's already been there. And he tells me that you have a future and a hope. See, God's already been there. You might say, well, the temptation is too great. I have to give in to it. You don't understand my experience, all the things I deal with. But John 8:36 says, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And Romans 6:13 says, sin will have no dominion over you. So either I learn to believe what God says and I trust his word, or I trust my experience. And if I trust in my experience, I'm always going to have an incomplete picture of what God can do in my life. Because here's the one, what I've learned about God, is that God takes you places you've never been before. And he shows you things you've never done before. And the thing is, if you're going places you've never been before, doing things you've never done before, how can you ever trust in your experience? Because you have none. You have to trust in someone who has gone there before you, and that's God himself. Now you say, well, why should I trust in God like that? Well, because he's got a track record of faithfulness. And his past faithfulness demands my present trust. It demands that I trust him today. Because he's the same yesterday, today, he'll be the same forever. And if he was faithful to me before, he's going to be faithful to me again. Because he does not change. It's who he is. I can trust in him. You might say, I'm not qualified. God got to pick someone else. What's interesting, when you talk about qualification, these are the ones that God calls. These are the people that he says are qualified. In 1 Corinthians 1:26, it says, not many were wise. That means you're stupid. Not many are powerful. Means you're weak. Not many of noble birth. But it says, God chose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And in verse 27, he says, God chose the weak to confound the mighty. So if I'm looking at myself, trying to determine what I can and cannot do, I'm not taking into consideration what God wants to do through me, what God wants to do through you. And I love this, that he uses the weak things, the foolish things, not the wisest people. My wife will tell me I have no common sense whatsoever. And it just happens to be true. You know, sometimes I'll just, hey, let's do this. Why would you do that? That makes no common sense. Okay, we'll do it. Her way is always better. That's what God uses. And so if I'm trusting in me, my experience, my power, my strength, and not God, that's a position of unbelief. Stop focusing on what you can or can't do. Focus on what God says he will do through you. Focus on what he says. Focus on what he desires to do, because he wants to accomplish great things through you. The second observation I want to make is that faith focuses on the promise, but unbelief focuses on the problems. Faith focuses on the promise. Unbelief focuses on the problems. If you notice in verse 28, Caleb didn't ignore the problems. He was right out with it. Hey, the people who dwell in the land, they're strong. The cities are fortified. They're big, very large. We saw the descendants of the Anak. Ooh. It's a real threat. But what he focused on was the promise, the land that God said that he would give to them. And he said, but the land, oh my goodness, it really does flow with milk and honey. Look at the fruit of the land. Look at all that God has given to us. We need to go get what God has given to us. But you contrast that to the other 10 spies. What did they say about the land? The land devours its inhabitants. It eats people alive. You go into the jungle, you never come out. It's a scary place. They bred fear everywhere. The germs live on the shopping carts for years. You wipe it off with that little tile, and then the little viruses are eating the tile from the inside out. They couldn't see the promise of the land. All they could see were the problems in the land. You see, when you walk into a situation, all you see are the problems in front of you. That's when you're walking in unbelief. When you don't see the promise, when you don't see what God wants to do in a situation, because God is working in every situation. What's interesting about this COVID virus is that while everyone's afraid of the virus, what it has done in our world, on the flip side, pollution has cleaned up. Rivers that were dirty and filthy are all cleaned up. Fish are coming back to life. Fishing is gonna get really good now, guys. Oceans are cleaning up. Factories aren't putting smoke in the air. The air is getting better. The planet is getting greener. Hello? Everyone's talking about how our world is about to crash, and yet our planet is getting greener. If you take pictures from outer space, it's greener today than it was a year ago. It's getting greener. That's the science. That's the facts. What do we know about God? God takes everything and works it together for our good. Friends, thank you for listening to the program today. You know, the statistics on life are quite staggering. It's been said that one out of every one person is going to die. And on that day, are you going to be ready? Are you going to be ready to meet God? Well, you can be ready. You can have that assurance that your sins are forgiven and you're going to heaven by praying a simple prayer and mean it with all your heart to say, Lord Jesus, I want to be ready to meet you. I surrender my life to you. Forgive me for all my sins and wash me clean of all the wickedness I've done. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and give me the power to live for you all the days of my life. And if you've prayed that prayer with me right now, I can tell you with full assurance that you are going to be in heaven.
Thanks for tuning in today to Worship Life Radio with Pastor Holland Davis. You've been listening to just one message in a series through the book of Numbers. Isn't it interesting that God gave the Israelites a chance to spy out the land, showing them the promise and the blessing that he would give them, but the people became fearful of the enemy? The truth is, it's easy to get stuck in that mode nowadays as well. God promises blessing for his followers, but it's easy to get bogged down by the things that look hard to overcome. The examples you read about in the Bible are a guide to help you learn from their mistakes. Don't let fear and doubt crowd your mind and heart. Let God's courage and strength ignite a drive to do the things God's called you to do, like Joshua and Caleb did. If you've been enjoying these messages and you live in the San Clemente area, why not join us in person to hear more? You can join us this weekend for church. We have services every Sunday and Thursday where we dig into the Bible together and spend time getting to know one another in deeper, more meaningful ways. Just visit calvarysanclemente.org for service times and directions. You can also be a part of our services virtually. We're streaming through YouTube and Facebook Live, as well as on our website. Again, you'll find those links at calvarysanclemente.org. That's all we have time for today, but we do look forward to the next edition as Pastor Howland continues on in the Book of Numbers, right here on Worship Life Radio.
Have you ever wondered what it means to be saved? What are you saved from? Is salvation only about going to heaven? Pastor Holland's message series, So Great a Salvation, will answer these questions and help you discover the rich, abundant life salvation brings. Order your personal copy of So Great a Salvation at worshipliferadio.com.